Well, Father, I thank you this morning. I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. You are the true King and you are our Father. We know this. And I'm asking you this morning to come in a special way, touch your people, change, rearrange, do what you need to do to us, Father God, to make us more like your Son, Jesus. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to be really careful what you're reading. There's so much stuff going on out there. People are just saying all kind of things. And, you know, you really have to be walking in the Spirit to discern what's of God and what is not of God. It sounds like God, but it sometimes is not God. And it can just bring a lot of confusion into the body of Christ. And I just wish that everybody would seek God's face before they speak, because so many people are listening to what you're saying. And it grieves me in spirit, really, to know that there's people out there just trying to make a name for themselves. And so they'll just say whatever. But I'm believing each one of you sitting in here this morning, you won't do that. You're out there to exalt Jesus Christ, not yourself. And that you only let God speak through you what he wants to speak through you. And just be quiet otherwise. We need to be people that aren't seen as much. We just need to be people behind the scenes so that God can use us whenever he so desires. There's enough of the world out there carrying on. We don't need to carry on with the world. Well, I had a message all together, but God told me to teach this, so this is what I'm going to teach you this morning. Chosen to set the captives free. I want you to understand, as I teach some of these things that God's been laying upon my heart, that, you know, this goes out on the website and everything, so there's other people that's going to hear this, so it might not apply to you at all. But, you know, you can always learn. You sometimes use up one time, it doesn't quite sink in. Then after the 10th time, it finally sinks in, you know, or 100th, whatever. So if you feel like, well, it's redundant, well, then there's something in there you have to hear. The statement made by Sellos, a Colombian evangelist, said, "Jesus told me to go. He never said I would come back." I really thought that was neat when I read that. Jesus told me to go. He never said I would come back. And I thought about that young man who went to that Indian tribe and he didn't come back. They killed him. And he went knowing that he might be killed. But he said, I have to reach those lost people. And, you know, as I read that and I thought about that, I thought, God, I'm believing that even though they killed him, that somebody was touched on that island. What, 12 people lived there, right? Only 12 people. Somebody out of that 12 got touched, and it's going to change all those people. Because God never has us do anything for no reason at all. There was a purpose for this young man going there. It wasn't to die. I mean, that wasn't the purpose. There was another purpose, even though he did die. And I'm just believing, and I hope you all are too, as you read about that, that God's purpose was carried out there. Because you never know where God's going to send you. And you never know what your purpose is. And like this young man said, you might not come back. But at least you have to go and try to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. Yeah, this is very serious times that we live in. And I don't know about you, but there's an uneasiness and unsettledness in the atmosphere. Do you feel that? And I keep praying, and God isn't telling me about it yet, but there's just something not right. And there's so much going on, and the government is so crazy. And we really need to be on our toes, constantly listening for the voice of God so he can reveal to us, so we can hear what's going on, so we know how to react to the different situations in life as we go. All right. So I said, Jesus told me to go. He never said I would come back. And isn't this the life of a Christian? We just have to go and do, period. Just period. You know, it's, if you read about Paul in the Bible, he just went. He just listened to God and did what God told him to do. And you know, and he let God take care of the situation. And we know that Paul spent most of his life in prison, but he didn't complain about it. He just went. And the problem with the body of Christ is we don't want to just go. We want to have a whole map, everything mapped out before us. We want to know exactly what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and where it's going to happen. And God just says, go. We need to really understand that whatever the devil tried to steal in your life, whether it was your health, your finances, your mind, your peace, or your family, is the exact area that the Lord wants to use you in. And I've been telling you that forever. Jesus not only wants to bring total restoration, healing, and deliverance to you in every area of your life, which is his perfect will, but he wants to use you to liberate others from the same thing that he has released you from. Why do you think the enemy is trying to get you to go back into your old lifestyle? Because he does not want you to release anybody else from their lifestyle. So if he can get you back into his clutches of where you were, you're not going to be a good witness to anybody. You're not going to be able to tell anybody, well, I was there, but God set me free, because you're bound up and they can see that. You're listening here. Jesus not only wants to bring total restoration, healing, and deliverance to you in every area of your life, which is his perfect, I'm just reading this over again, which is his perfect will, but he wants to use you to liberate others from the same things that he has released you from. And if you talk to people, they really get upset that God allowed you to go through the mess they went through. And why did you have to go through your mess just to help somebody else, you know? Why couldn't God just zap everybody and everybody be right? But that isn't how it works. You and I both know that. And maybe some of you went down paths that you knew you shouldn't have went down, and you tried to stop yourself from going down them, but you still went down them. But if you went down it, there was always a purpose for that path in your life. Anything that happened in your life was not for naught. Please always understand that. If you're in an abusive marriage, God can use you now to minister to other people in their marriages. Whatever you went through. And God keeps telling me that he said, they don't understand that I want to use them in the sin that I took them out of. We've ordered a new sign. It's not up, is it? We ordered a new sign. I was sitting here last service, and God said, I want you to order a new sign. I want you to take down that love sign and order a new sign that says believe on it. He said, because they don't even believe I love them. So he said, I'm taking that love sign down. I want the word believe there, so maybe that'll sink in. So that's what we're doing. Nancy got it together, and we've ordered it, and when it comes in, it'll replace that one. See, we just don't believe the things that God is speaking to us, even prophetically. We just want to believe what we want to believe, not God. And this is causing a lot of confusion in the body of Christ. It really is. It's causing confusion wherever you go, because if the church can't believe what God says, how do you expect the world to believe you when you talk about it? You know, they watch your emotions. They watch what you do when you're out in public. They watch what you do when you're in your own home. How do you react to the different situations? Then you're trying to tell them to serve God. They're watching you and thinking, you're crazy. I don't want to be like you, right? Isn't that how it goes? All right, 2 Corinthians verse 1 says, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. In other words, it says there, if you're in trouble, God comforts you, so you can go and tell somebody else, well, you know, I was in that mess, but God did this for me. It's right there in the word, right? Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And I looked up the word consolation in the English, and it just says comfort. And I would really need to know in the Hebrew what consolation really means. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Even though you're suffering, God is going to comfort you. God has to comfort you. He has to give you peace so you can go forth and minister to other people. If they see you still bound up, they're not going to believe a word you say. But if they see that let's just say you were a drug addict. Just say you were a terrible drug addict, and then they see you now not being a drug addict and being happy and peaceful, then they're going to want what you have. That's how I got born again. You know, that's my story. Is the young lady I was a friend when I went to college with her, and she was a loud mouth. I mean, she was a really nice person, loud mouth, didn't care what she said to you. And she came into college that night to pick me up so we'd go up to class, and she didn't say nothing. I said, "What's wrong? Are you in trouble?" And she said, "No." And we was going up steps. I said, "Will you please tell me what is your problem?" Because she was always boisterous. She said, "Tomorrow night I want you to go with me, and I want you to receive what I received." And so I did, and I got born again. And that woman was I wanted what she had. Because if anybody, you know, she was so transformed. And then she took me to the Full Gospel Businessmen, and I became born again. And I understood why she was transformed, and because she was, then I became born again. Are you understanding this? I saw something different in her. I knew who she was, and she wasn't the same person. People are looking at you, and they see who you were, and they see you're somebody different, and they want what you have. And the reason why we can't get the world into the church is because we're like the world. We act like the world. Can't be out there drinking and carrying on with the world and say, "Come to church and meet Jesus." No, they don't want your Jesus. They already have enough problems. They don't need Jesus tying up their life too. Amen. I just heard that, so I said it. Amen. They don't need another complication. All right, what a wonderful God we have. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? He is the source of every mercy and the one who so wonderfully comforts and strengthens us in our hardships and trials. Doesn't he? Why does he do this? So that when others are troubled, needing our sympathy and encouragement, we can pass on to them the same help and comfort God has given us. Some of you, God has never comforted you because you won't let him. If you let God, he will comfort you in your day of tribulation. He will. He will give you peace. But if you're always troubled and always upset, people aren't going to listen to a thing you say. I remember when I was born again, you know, I was just an early Christian. I went to a store, and there was this pastor, and he was singing the blues to the guy that owned the place there and going on. And I thought, why is he doing that? I mean, you know, he was not an example of Jesus. I mean, he was worse off than the guy that run the store was. And he was a pastor of the churches right down the road from that store. That man's not going to go to his church because that man was better off. Amen. But as I watched that pastor, he really wasn't of God. And that's why he did things like that. But everybody is watching you when you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All right, you can be sure that the more we undergo sufferings for Christ, the more he will shower us with his comfort and encouragement. Paul said, "We are in deep trouble for bringing you God's comfort and salvation, but in our trouble God has comforted us, and this too to help you, to show you from our personal experience how God will tenderly comfort you when you undergo these same sufferings. He will give you the strength to endure." You see that? "But in our trouble, God has comforted us, and this too, to help you." Every time you're trying to help somebody, the devil's going to try to tear you down. He's going to kick you in the teeth more times than you care to be kicked. But you have to understand who you are in Christ. You have to understand that when you go out to do the Father's work, the enemy is waiting to destroy you. Amen. Come on. Come on. You know, I was reading Katie Seuss's blog she puts out, and she said it, you know, miracles are happening in the prison ministry. She said this one guy had a 2,000-pound something rather fall on him, broke his back and his neck, out, and how he ended up in prison. But anyhow, he's in prison because he's working on a construction site. But anyhow, she prayed for him and then had the guard come over and do the metal detector thing. He had no metal in his body. Did you read that? And then this one guy was shot in the hand, and the bullet was still in his hand, and he had a lot of pain in his hand. So she prayed, and they put the metal detector, and no metal in his body. Well, I don't know how many people she put on there like that, but she said that day God removed metal out of people's body. And a couple of the guys, they had to go somewhere and go through the metal detector, and usually it set it off like, you know, a big alarm, and they said it never went off one time. But God, this just happened recently, but God miraculously took all that metal out of their body. And why did these people have her pray? Because of her testimony of where she was, what she did, and how God has delivered her from sicknesses. And then they had enough faith in them at that point to go ahead and let her pray. And God just took all these things away. You know, that caused a big revival in that prison she's in. It would. It would. And see, God wants to use us as sign, wonders, and miracles, but he can't because we are still fussing about the things we had to go through. Amen? Come on. We're still fussing about the traumas that happened in our life, and we're supposed to let that stuff go. And we're supposed to let God be God, let him magnify himself through us, so that we can win the lost to Christ. Some of you may feel like you were thrown in a pit like Joseph was. We can all say that, right? The Lord raised you up out of that pit so that you can rescue others out of their pit. For those of you who have been bound in depression or tormented with fear, the Lord wants to make you bold as a lion. And he will release the oil of gladness to you. Why? So that you can also dispense it to others. God has done so much for you guys in this church. And you are not, I'm not saying everybody, but you are not out there letting people see what Christ did for you. And you know, you see about joy all over the place. And if you don't have your joy, the devil has you. Because the word tells me the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I can't have the world's joy. I have to have God's joy down inside of me. And as that joy comes forth, other people are going to feel it. And they're going to want what you have. I don't see too many joyful Christians, do you? We walk around like we just ate a bucket of prunes or something. And, you know, that never should be. That we were sitting here this morning, and Gabriel said, everybody's really loud and having a good time. I said, I'd love to hear that, too. Because this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to enjoy ourselves in the house of the Lord. I want you to start enjoying yourself. I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you're sitting down in the pit. I don't care if you're in your prison cell and bound up. Be like Paul and Silas. Start enjoying your life. You're going to go through this world one time, so you might as well enjoy it. You know, everything I read, God, it says that God knew everything was going to happen to us. So he knew you were going to be down in that pit. He knew that devil was going to come after you. And he made a way, and that way is joy. Joy. It tells me Paul and Silas never complained. And that's hard to believe, but they never complained. They just kept singing. Somebody said to me last night, you know, when two people are fighting, And instead of you entering, well, I was saying, well, you never, when that person fought with you, you never fought back, because I always told them you don't do that. And I said, you even got on your bike and rode down the road for a while in the cold one day in the rain. And they said, well, you know, if they're wanting to fight and nobody's there to fight with them, they just quit. So if I walk away, they have nobody to fight with, and they just have to shut up. Amen? Come on. I think that's the same way with the devil. You know, the devil will keep harassing you as long as you listen to him and let him. But the minute you quit listening to him, the minute you quit letting him harass you, then he's going to quit, because he doesn't get no joy anymore, because you won't let him do what he wants to do to you. For those of you who were healed of various sicknesses and diseases, he will use you to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm telling you what God's going to do for you, whatever you had to go through. Even those of you that were delivered from drugs, alcohol, perversion, or may have been in prison, Jesus has unshackled you to set other captives free. Well, I don't know why God let me go through this drug thing for 2 years. Well, one thing, you wouldn't answer his call in your life, but another thing is, he just wanted you to make sure you didn't go back there again. Because if you notice that people are delivered from alcohol or drugs, real quick, all of a sudden, the next thing you know, they're right back into it again. Then, I just see him say cigarettes. And, oh, well, God will just zap that out of me again. And God said, no, well, I was listening to Jesse Duplantis the other day, and last night, really, and he said that God told him that he wanted him to go preach, go up to the altar to get anointing to preach, and he didn't do it for a year, but finally God told him, when God said, why don't you go up there and get anointed to preach, so he did, and he said he didn't preach for a whole year, and he said he got mad one day, and God said, and he said, God, how come nobody's calling me? And God said, you made me wait a year, and now I'm going to make you wait. I made you wait a year. How do you like it? He said. You know. He said, and then from that on, he has so many engagements he can't keep them. But he said he sure learned a lesson then. When God spoke, he did it, because he didn't want to wait. Are you listening here? Come on. All right, God is right. He is righteous God who desires to use those who previously were winos to dispense a new wine of his glory. In other words, if you were delivered from drinking, God wants you to have the wine of his glory inside of you and pour it out. For those of you that have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and were involved in occult practice such as psychics, tarot card readings, or things of the new age, he has awesome plans for you to be used in his kingdom of light in a ministry of miracles, signs, and wonders. Are we listening here? Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So Jesus said, Satan wants to sift you as wheat. And so then he said, I've been praying for you, Peter, but you failed. Because he said, and when you return. See, Peter failed, even though Jesus was praying for him. He said, strengthen your brethren. In other words, go out and tell the people how I delivered you out of your problems. All right. And I know why God's had me teach us, is because we have not yet learned to leave our problems behind us. We are still carrying our problems with us. And as long as we carry our problems with us, we can't win anybody to Christ. All right. Jesus told Simon Peter that he prayed for him because the devil wanted to take him out. And then he said to Peter, after you are converted, go and strengthen your brother. He wants to use you to rescue and deliver others after you are restored and your mind is renewed. God's been restoring you and renewing your mind forever. Let's let it be finalized tonight, this morning. Amen. We don't need to go through this no more. The same Peter had a great breakthrough in chapter 5. Wherever he walked, the sick were healed in his shadow. See, oh, if you just let go and of the past and move into the future, how are we going to go empty out hospitals if we're still messed up in our past? We're not going to be able to. But if we let go of our past and walk into a hospital, your shadow is going to heal the people. I remember that the day that I walked in the grocery store and I walked by this lady, she said, "What'd you do to me?" I said, "Nothing." Just by walking by her, my presence, she said she was healed. My presence healed her because the glory of God was in me. You know, that's just one instance. So this is where God is trying to take the body of Christ, but the body of Christ won't go there. I want to hear testimonies. We need to hear testimonies of whenever you did went somewhere, somebody was delivered, or whenever you was speaking, a devil and somebody started coming out, you know, because the glory was in you so strong. Right? Where am I at? Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself?" See, Peter was so strong in the Lord after he returned that he knew everything that was going on in a person's life. See, if we would just get to that point, we wouldn't be so confused and wouldn't running around here with this look on our face like we're astonished at everything, because we would know what's going on in a person's life. I always know when somebody's going to call me, because right before you call me, I hear your name. Right before you, then the phone rings and it's you on the phone. You know, that's just how God wants to work. And even with the emails, God will say, "Go open your email," and then he'll give me a name. Open your email, there is that person has emailed me. See, this is where God wants to take us to. You should know exactly who you're going to sell a house to. You know, I mean, this is the way God wants us to be. We are supernatural beings. And every time I talk to the Lord anymore about something, I'll say, "Why is this happening?" It's because you're a spirit and they are not. So, you know, you're walking around, you are a spirit born of God, and the people that have the devil in them are not. And God will tell you what's going on between you and them. And this is where God's trying to take you. The title was chosen to set the captives free. You, first of all, you're a captive. You have to be set free totally and completely. And how much longer are you going to wait till he does that? You know, it's my question to you right now. Where am I at? Verse 4. Well, so Ananias and Sapphira sold some property and kept some of the money for herself. And Peter said, well, it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Excuse me, you have not lied to men, but to God. Excuse me. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now, God's been saying Ananias and Sapphira period was going to enter into the church. So that means if you lied, the Holy Spirit's going to drop dead right then and there. Now, it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Always keep your wife informed, guys. And Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together," you know, with her husband, "to test the spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And a young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. Now, it says, so great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Now here's Peter, said, "You're going to die," and they died. You know, God's not going to give you that gift because you've been around killing everybody. Amen. But what we're supposed to look at here is the knowledge that Peter had that they kept the money and didn't give it all into the church, all right? Verse 12 says, and through the hands of the apostles, who? The apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. In other words, the apostles were gifted to do this, but the other people who were not saved didn't dare go with them. I guess they were afraid they might drop dead, like Ananias and Sapphira. And it said, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So when everybody saw what the apostles were doing, and great signs, wonders, and miracles were happening to them, people got saved. They gave their life to the Father. Now tell me, I'm going to tell you this. If you will surrender yourself to God 100%, get out of your past and get into the future, wherever you go, God will start speaking to you and God will start healing people. And then people around them that are watching that, they're going to want your Jesus. And it's time, way past time, for us to step into that category. Verse 15 says, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. You know what? The people should say, you need to go walk past the Lighthouse Church, because as you walk past Lighthouse Church, the anointing of God is there and you'll be healed. Right? That's what they should be saying. I remember we used to have all the revivals here. People say that they felt the anointing down the road. They followed the anointing, and that's how they came here. So we need to get that back again. And the only way we get that back is quit walking in the past and start walking in the future that God has for us to do the greater things. Amen. All right, verse 16 says, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities of Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So here's where you have your big revivals that were going on years ago, where people came from all over the world to these churches that were having revival because they were healed. You see this? I don't know if you ever went to the one in Florida. I went there, and those people came in there from Japan and everything else, and they would go up there for the altar call, and they'd get to shaking and going on, you know, and they would fall out in the spirit, and they just pick up. They were stiff as boards. They just carry them out and lay them on the grass, because you didn't have any room for them. They had them piled up out there on the grass. They lay there for hours in the spirit, just shaking, just shaking like a leaf. And they went back and gave their testimony. What happened? Others came too and were healed. Are you listening to this? Verse 16 says, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities of Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. See, now here, tormented by unclean spirits, everyone was delivered. They didn't sit for 3 hours. Come out, come out, come out. The anointing in them just caused that spirit to jump out of them. Like when Jesus walked into a room. Jesus is in you, right? Are you sure? Right? What you think? You're shaking your yeah. But is he really? If he is, then why are not the unclean spirits jumping out of people? Now, please don't be under condemnation. I just want us to think. Amen? All right, so God, so unclean spirits aren't coming out, then I must not be close enough to you. There must be something in me that's still blocking that fullness of your glory. All right? Verse 17 says, and then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is a sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. They were upset. You know what's going to happen when you start going out there and healing people? They're just going to be healed just because you were there. People are going to be upset with you. These are the devil. You know, hold up your Bible in front of you now. That's the devil. No, that's Jesus Christ of Nazareth deep down inside of you, manifesting himself. Verse 18, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. They were so mad at them for doing miracles that they put them in prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. They threw him in prison, but an angel came and took him out. Come on, we need angels at our rescue. And when they had heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. They didn't run away. They went into the temple and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely, and the guards standing outside before the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. Then one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Why were they put in prison? Because they were teaching the people and doing the miracles, right? Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. You know, the high priest didn't want to be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Then Peter said, and the other apostles answered and said, I'm sorry, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We're so afraid of man, aren't we? The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So here they were preaching to this guy, all right? And we are his witness to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him, God. All right? So if you don't have that strong anointing, maybe you're not obeying God in every area of your life. And because God wants total obedience. When they heard this, they were furious and took counsel to kill them. Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And look what he said. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. You better watch out. God will get you. And after this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. He said, you better not go against God. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. So he's saying, let them alone. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, you know, they still beat them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they didn't heed to what this other guy said, did they? So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They weren't crying. Oh, we got beat for preaching the word. It says they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They still did not go by what the men said, did they? They still preached Jesus Christ. We go out there in the streets, the law is going to say you can't do this. So you're going to have the mind of Christ and know what God's called you to do, and then go ahead and do it no matter what happens to you. Are you listening? You know, overseas, you are not allowed to preach the gospel. You're not allowed to have churches. Even home churches are attacked. Is that going to creep into America? I believe to a certain extent it's going to come into America too. And God told me years ago, daughter, the things that you're reading about in the Word are the things that are happening across the sea. Watch what happens there, because it'll eventually come into America. So you have to decide early on, maybe today, and I would suggest today, whether you're going to be totally committed to Jesus, to do His work, no matter what comes your way. That you're totally committed, and it doesn't matter if you're persecuted or not, you're going to still follow Jesus. And if you're following Jesus, the devil's going to work. He's going to come at you through anybody that's willing to work for Him. Anybody. So you have to understand this morning that the deeper you commit yourself to God, the harder the enemy's going to come after you. And if you're not going to commit yourself to God the whole way, then why commit yourself at all? And I'm not telling you to leave Jesus. I'm just saying you're just going to sit in a pew and one day go to heaven, but never accomplish anything great for the Father. And I'm not like that. I want to do something. And I believe that most of you in here, you want to do something for God. You don't want to waste your time here when you go to heaven and God shows you what you could have had, but you didn't have. Because God said some will just barely make it to heaven. And some won't have high positions in heaven because they didn't do anything here on earth. And some people say, I don't care. I just want to get to heaven. But I just think there's such a great works for us to do here on this earth for our Father. And it's exciting when you really commit yourself to God and you really start doing the works of the Father. It is exciting. And it can bring you much joy and much happiness. It can bring you sorrow. It can bring you pain. But Jesus went through all that too. And He's still rejoicing over the cross, isn't He? He still loves us, doesn't He? He still prays for us. You know, he didn't say, oh, thank God that's over. Father, forgive them, is what He said. Throughout the Bible, God raised up men and women and sent them out to people that had the same issues that they were delivered from. Read your word. The Apostle Paul, who previously was named Saul, was a murderer and used to kill Christians until he had that awesome encounter with the Lord and was converted. He was totally transformed and became a great apostle and mighty deliverer. Jesse Duplantis was telling about his conversion, and he got radically saved in a club, and then they went out to play their gig, and he said they were singing, and I forgot what he was supposed to say, but the words that came out of his mouth and said, you people are going to hell that's sitting in here tonight. And some people in his band said, get him out of here, he's over tripped, he's tripping out. But see, he was totally converted, and he had to go out and, you know, on the stage and do his show. He said before he just loved it. He said, but after he was converted, I think in the bathroom or someplace, then he went out on the stage. He said it was awful because he saw all the sin, you know. See, when you're truly converted, you'll see all the sin, and it'll be a stench to your nostrils, and you won't be able to stand it. And he couldn't stand it after that because he was totally converted. Paul wrote most of the New Testament, and most of his writings he wrote from his jail cell. God wants the atmosphere over us to be infused with the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is what He wants for all of us, not just one or two of us. He wants everyone here in here today to be infused with that great anointing, that great mighty power that He's trying to put into His people. But many of you don't understand this yet, you know, that God wants to infuse you with that power. Every one of us is called to so much more than we are walking in. And we really are. We are called to do so much more than we're walking in. We think we're doing great things, but really and truly there's greater things that God wants us to do. But we have to get out of our past. And God's saying that's a burden that you don't need to be carrying anymore. Because He wants to take that burden off of you. I want you to remember the story about Joseph. His brothers were jealous of him, but look how it all turned out. So What he went through was jealousy. But look how it turned out. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we are your servants." This is how it turned out. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God?" But as, in other words, he said, "I'm not your judge, God is. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people's lives." In other words, he said, "You meant this for evil, but God had it all planned out, and it had to go this way so I could save other people's lives." So, you know, God had your life all planned out. He knew what pits you were going to fall into, but he had them all there to encourage you and to grow your character so you could then win others to Christ. "Now, therefore, do not be afraid," Joseph speaking to his brothers. "I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. See, Joseph could have just really messed him up bad. He could have been in hate and bitterness, but he didn't do that. He knew that God had this all planned out. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Remember the story about Joseph. His brothers were jealous of him. Always remember that. What did the devil try to steal from you? In other words, what's happened in your life? God wants to reverse what was meant for evil against you to save many others from the same calamities through you. Because of jealousy, his brothers threw him in the pit, sold him into slavery. You know, I don't know what people have done to you, I don't really care, because that's your past, and God's saying get out of your past, right? You know, so you might have been involved with somebody, and they're into witchcraft, and they're really mad at you because you have one up on them, and so they're going to cause all manner of evil to go, you know, cause sickness in your family, you know, and cause you to have, let's say, car problems, cause you to have work problems, cause you to have relation problems, and that does happen, and they're upset with you because you got one up on them, and now they're going to make you pay for that. But we cannot. Dwell on that. We have to give that to God, and we have to move on. And we have to ask God, this is your problem. You take care of this problem. We don't ask God to kill them. We just ask, you know, somebody said one time, it was Sister Nancy, we were talking about something, and God said, and she said, "Let's pray for the young man that was doing the harm to the people and get him saved." And so we started praying for him, and some things started turning around. And see, too often we want to see the person go, you know, be yanked into hell and everything else. And really, if we start praying for them and they get a mind, you know, and God changes their mindset, everything's going to come back into alignment with God. So God's trying to get your attention this morning. You know, you've already been chosen, you know that, to set the captives free. But you're not doing that. And it's time to, I'm hearing God say, it's time to liberate those who are still in prison cells. Those that you come in contact with just about every day. It's time that you start using what you went through to help others come through. Amen. Like Katie Souza goes into the prison cells because she was there. She was into drugs. She was into all that crime stuff. And she was in prison. She was there. And that's where her ministry was, in prison cells. Why? Because she can tell them, this is where I was, and this is where I am. I'm free, and God's working through me to set others free. So what was your vice? Whatever it was, God wants it. And now God wants to use you to bring others out of their vices. Could have been bad marriage. Could be a lot of bad relationships. Could be a whole lot of things that you went through. But let's get free today. Let's not no longer walk in our past, but let's step into our future and know that God is God and He's in total control. And, you know, it's way past time. You know, I was reading where Australia's breaking out in revival. Why? Because they've gotten together in unity. They were praying for God to move in that area. And they let their love walk show. You know, they let God use them the way he wants to use them. And now revivals broke out all across Australia. So why not America? Why can't revival break out all across America? If we get out of our past and move into the future, it will. Father, I just thank you for this morning's message. I thank you, Father God, for those who are sitting here at your table, who have eaten of your manna this morning. And Father, I'm asking that you change, rearrange our thought life. I'm asking, Father God, that you restore unto us all that the canker and palmer worm have stolen. And I ask you, Father God, to come. I come against every spirit of hell right now that's trying to hinder what God wants to do. Satan, you have no place in this place. This is God's house. And you will leave right now. In Jesus' mighty name, you'll leave.